No matter how many times I crunch these numbers, we're still in the red. Why did I blow this year's budget on that stupid trivia showdown? What the hell was I thinking? God, you're such an idiot, Dave. Looks like this will be the first year we don't have a Thanksgiving Day luncheon. What will I tell the guys? They're always so excited for that Taco Bell Baja cranberry sauce and queso stuffing. If I don't think of something, they're gonna have my ass. What's going on out there? If this is another mutant raid.
I repeat, high wages for high-risk podcasting jobs. 2,000 credits per podcaster. Experience in American remakes is suggested. I repeat, high-risk, high-reward job for experienced movie podcasters.
Yeah, yeah, right here. I'm a movie review podcaster.
You're just one man. This job requires at least three men, all experienced in movie review podcasting. And we're not taking any TikTokers.
Don't worry. I don't even know what a TikTok is, sir. And rest assured, I have two highly qualified subordinates who will be more than happy to join me for this assignment. Snyder, you've done it again.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
In each truck. At least one's got to get there. Slightest bump, you're a goner. Won't be enough of you left to even pick up.
Mais t'es pas fou, non?
C'est pas mes oignons, mais t'as choisi un drôle de bled pour ton frère.
Il faut en choisir pas.
Deux, trois coups de pétard là-dedans. Ça fait du bruit.
La question, que jaleo, que bronca.
À la spirale, il y a le pétrole. Et quand le pétrole s'arrête, il n'y a plus rien.
La prise, mon Dieu! La prise!
Et puis merde, ça devait arriver, à force de jouer au couillon, on finit toujours par gagner.
All right, nobody... All right, I just want to remind you guys, no drinking before the podcast. It slows the reflexes, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, so... I'm your host Dave Ron. Yet, and I feel like we've gone on this dangerous assignment before. I'm joined again by Ryan.
Movie. I was in French. Est-ce compétent? I don't know.
Did you have the subtitles on, right, Ryan?
Oh shit! I fucked up. Oh fuck!
Ryan just watched the whole movie with scratching his.
Damn
head.
It! I didn't even know.
And we're joined by our resident French expert, Michael.
you can get to be 100 in a few months.
Know what you mean, man, recording this podcast.
So as I said before, I feel like I got deja vu, guys. Haven't we watched this movie before on the show?
I think so. I thought so.
No, Dave. That last time we watched it, it was set in a jungle. This is a desert now. It's a different level.
So we're finally circling back around. We're watching the film Sorcerer was based on, The Wages of Fear. Is this the first time for anybody watching this original?
First time for me.
Really?
Yeah, I've never seen it before. I've always wanted
to. Oh, wow. Yeah, I've
seen Sorcerer a million times now. So.
I was lucky enough to have a special screening with Morten Hoof. I think it was when the Blu-ray came out, or long after the Blu-ray came out, whatever. But, I mean, Sorcerer is a great movie. We all enjoyed it. Go back and listen to our Sorcerer episode. But I gotta say, as much as I love Sorcerer, I think I prefer the original Wages of Fear.
Yeah, I mean, if we're just getting right into it, it's a matter of degrees. Like, Sorcerer is really good, but this is better. This is like
I don't think so. I mean, it's good, but Sorcerer's fucking is a vibe, man. It's a vibe.
You don't think this is a vibe?
This is more like classic Western kind of stuff, you know.
I think what it was, I don't know. Like
for me, the big thing is Sorcerer. I was not as invested in the characters as I am in this one, and I think that's like the little pip that pops. Like Sorcerer is a great movie. Don't get me wrong. I think I gave that like 4.5 or something on Letterboxd, or it's like around there, or Chatterboxd, or you know, Wastelandaboxd. But this one, I would go 5, and I just feel like it's for me, like Sorcerer, I don't remember the beginning of that movie, and the characters don't really come to life in the way that they do here for me, and this one too. I also feel like I really have a clear sense of all their motivations, and kind of like they feel like very distinct archetypes in a way. Like each of once you narrow it down to the 4 people we get with. Once the funneling occurs, I feel like I have a better sense of these 4 people than I do Sorcerer. But yeah, they're both great movies. They're both great movies.
Yeah. Not we're not putting Sorcerer down. I think I agree with you, Mike. I just and I think I seem to remember we addressed this on the Sorcerer episode. Like one of Siskel's big problems with this movie was like the characters weren't, or with Sorcerer rather, was that the characters weren't likable. And it's like you don't always have to like the main characters, but I think this just adds an extra layer because it's like, in Sorcerer, like one of the differences between Sorcerer and this original Wages of Fear is that Sorcerer begins with how all those people got in that shitty, you know, town or whatever it is.
Yeah, like, it's so in the archetypes of their what kind of people they are and stuff.
Yeah.
It bounces around the world. It's a weird movie. Weird.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're scumbags. They're dirtbags in there. And these guys are dirtbags too, but I feel like I don't know. Like, you get a little bit, like, in this one, there's a trade-off. In Sorcerer, we find out how they got there. In Wages of Fear, we are there in the town for way longer than we are in Sorcerer.
Yeah.
Like, you get a bigger idea of the town and, like, this you know, that this is sort of like the armpit of the world, and it's hard, like, it's easy to get in, but it's really hard to get out.
Which is such a cool idea. Like, the idea of, like, there is this town that is easy to get to if you're trying to get away for whatever reason, right? Like whether it's crime or family or, you know, gambling or whatever it is. You can, like the idea that like you can find yourself in this town easily. It's not hard to get to. But once you're there, it's surrounded by desert. There's no way to like drive out of it. There's no roads that go out of it. It's surrounded by like mountains and stuff. And the only place you can really go is like the oil refinery. And that's where the road ends. But you can fly out. You can fly out, but it costs
money, which no one does.
Yeah, it costs so much money to fly out, and there's no way to get money in this dead town. It's a good setup, and you know, of course, then this movie is like, okay, well, here's a way to make money. Here's a way to make enough money, but you have to do a sorcerer. You have to drive dynamite or nitroglycerin over mountainous roads.
Yeah.
I think like one of the things that I really liked about this was I feel like it's a bit of a magic trick in the way that you see the dynamic of these characters in the town, and then it's a totally different dynamic once they're on the road. like Joe. Like Joe is like, he's like basically like the godfather when he first shows up, and everyone's like giving
him. Well, he has this reputation that we never find out exactly what it was. We know that he ran like contraband at some point 20 years earlier, but that's about it.
Yeah, he's maybe my favorite character in this, because like, yeah, he shows up kind of, I don't know, 15 minutes into the movie or something. He's like new into town, and he's like a big shot. You know, he's like whipping money around, asking people to like, no, you'll pay for this for me, you know, and people are glad to do it. And then when he is cut to like, we're doing the sorcerer part, we're driving the nitroglycerin, he is like the most chicken shit of all of them, and just like
I'm a coward, man. Okay?
Crumbling, yeah. Like it's such an interesting like turn of like just everyone too, like how they react to once they're on like this adventure versus how they were reacting before.
Yeah, we get the armpit of the world. He shows up throwing some money around, even though we find out technically he's broke, and he kind of buddies up with kind of our main character of the movie, Mario. Who's just another guy in this shitty town who can't get out. He had his only real like bright spot in his life is like this fling that he has with the local like waitress at this bar,
Linda,
and that's about it. And he's buddies with his friend Luigi.
Anyone? I wrote this down. Mario and Luigi. Are you kidding me? Is this it? Is this like where Mario and Luigi came from? Was it Wages of Fear?
And you know, he even kind of looks like Luigi kind of looks like Mario.
Yeah, Mario doesn't look like Mario, but Luigi looks like Mario. No one really looks like Luigi.
And so this guy, this asshole Joe, kind of he buddies up with Mario because Mario is like a fellow Frenchman, and it's kind of interesting because Mario, who is friends with Luigi, he dumps Luigi. He's like bunkmates with Luigi, his best friend. Well, I don't want to say best friend. He's like friend in this town that maybe otherwise he wouldn't be friends with.
But Dave, anyway. would it surprise you to know that when this movie came out in America, it was heavily edited? Like, I think they took an hour out of it, and a lot of what they edited was so-called homosexual themes.
Which is just like, it's just two guys living in like this crappy little house. You know what I mean? They're just trying to make ends meet, kind of.
Well, there's,
you know,
a moment where the guy goes like, they were close, you know?
There's a lot of lines where it's not even with Mario and Luigi, but other characters where they're like, say often like, I'm not interested in women, you know, like I think it was kind of gay. I think they were trying to be it. I think there were homosexual themes.
When the guy's walking off, and spoiler, and the fire after he gets there, one of the guys goes like, "Oh, they were very close," or something like
that. You know? Yeah, it's like it's very tender and stuff. It's played like that, you know, when he's like his head is in his lap, you know, and he's like stroking his face as he's dying. And like in the beginning, you know, when Linda wants to go on a date and he's like, no, I'm going to go hang out with Joe. I don't want to go on a date with you.
Well, I kind of viewed it as, and you could view it that way. I kind of viewed it more like Mario sees Joe as a ticket out of here.
Yes.
He's like, oh, this guy clearly has some kind of connections. He has like this reputation. He's an important guy to some degree. Like maybe I'm going to latch on.
I do think that is like the text, but I do think there's like a gay subtext going on here for sure.
And just like what was I about to say? Damn it, I lost my train of thought. So, but basically kind of the story of this movie, like we said, if you've seen Sorcerer, it's essentially the same. You got a bunch of people in this like crappy town, rundown town, who can't get out. They're presented with this option of doing this dangerous mission for the oil company, Southern Oil Company, run by the Americans. It's like, hey, we got this oil rig we need some bunch of explosives to like cut off like this fire or something. The problem is all of our trucks are in this shitty town 300 miles away. We need you to drive this nitroglycerin and through the dangerous desert, through many dangerous obstacles, which we'll get into, which are awesome, in order to use the explosives to stop that fire or whatever. And that's the movie. That's the Wages of Fear. And along the way, we get going into this, I'm like, oh wow, I forgot this is like a 2.5 hour movie. This is kind of a bit of an epic. We get like, I clocked it. We get the introduction of we need truck drivers bit 40 minutes in. Like, I
they leave at the exact halfway point.
Yeah, and they leave it like almost the exact halfway point. And like, as you said, Mike, this kind of becomes like a different movie. Like, it shifts gears.
You could, this would be a good candidate for an intermission. I feel like taking a beat between those two moments would work well.
And I gotta say, like, one thing I thought was interesting about this movie, it's black and white. There are shots, especially when they first go off on their journey, where I was kind of creeped out by the surroundings, the settings. Like, there's like these, like when they first go off, it's like this, they're in like this forest with this tight, narrow road with the headlights. And it was almost like a horror movie to a degree, the way it was shot.
This whole movie is like shot really well. And it feels like way more, I'm trying to think of the right word, but it feels like a lot of this stuff feels more ahead of its time for when it was made. Like, I was definitely,
this movie doesn't pull any punches. We should say this movie gets brutal at times.
I was definitely getting like, I'm sure he's talked about it one way or the other, but for me, I was thinking a lot of Spielberg watching this, like thinking like, oh man, I bet Spielberg would be really into this. And just the way that it's like, so, like the way it's edited, the way it's paced, the way the shot, like it's watchable. Like it's really like, you're in the action in a way that reminds me of Spielberg that he's like so good at doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's classic Western stuff. Like, that's what that whole beginning even feels like, I think. It's just, like, town, new people coming in, the way the characters are bouncing around. Like, especially that late era Western, I think.
It definitely Western, especially in the first act. Like, you know, when Joe comes to town, he's throwing his weight around, and he's being an absolute piece of shit to Luigi, man. Like,
wearing his pants.
Yeah, like Luigi, oh my god, like, oh, you're just throwing my shit on the floor and then wearing my pants? What the hell, Mario? You're giving my clothes to this guy? But it's crazy because Luigi is like, out of all the characters in the town, Luigi is kind of like the one seemingly decent guy. He's just like, I'm just gonna, you know, hammer away, I'm just gonna squirrel away some money and try to get out of here. Like,
you don't think Mario?
Well, Mario's kind of sleazy, I'll say. Mario has like a sleazy vibe to him. Maybe he's not bad, but he has a sleazy vibe to him. But a lot of the other characters, like you get that doctor, like the German doctor who we see actively throwing rocks at a dog. I don't like mutts. You know what I mean?
You know, like, who I liked, and I was actually thinking like was getting like big Dave energy, is so at the beginning of the movie, which is like, Ryan, I think the first half of this movie for sure is like definitely some obviously Western to the max.
Well, the standoff between Joe and Luigi, especially.
In the bar.
When Joe pulls the gun on Luigi, he's like, go ahead, take it. You got the guts.
Well, there's a great, like, I just like the table setting in the beginning of this movie. I was talking off air before, but like, I feel like this was a good movie to watch while it's really hot outside, because like the first movie starts, the way it starts is just setting up how hot it is in the town. And there's a group of dudes, like a group of old dudes who are hanging out at the bar in town. And in particular, the old man like reminded me of, it just had Dave's vibes. It's like there's this old guy who's sitting on like a rocking chair, and he just gets out like a spritzer of water and is just like throwing, like, splashing water on his face while he's sitting on the chair.
That's the German doctor who throws rocks at the dog. You think I'm that guy?
You wouldn't throw rocks at the dog, but you would be like just squeezing the water hose into your face while you're sitting out front.
No way.
For sure.
I would be like one of the kids running behind the municipality truck with water like spewing out the back.
Oh, one of the you'd be a naked child following a truck.
Isn't that the spray, the thing he's spraying? Wouldn't that be like seltzer water too, or soda water?
That's what I thought too.
What he was spraying in his face?
Because the bartender comes. And
I mean, I think
it's
meant to be. It's not meant to be splashed into your face. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like soda water, or whatever he was using, or to be like a, whatever.
But this is we've said it before, this is a rough town. Like, they're trying to get out. Once the whole idea of the trucks and we need truck drivers comes about, like, all these characters come to, and I love it too, when they all come to, up to, like, the front door, like, name, occupation, they all say truck driver. And the guys, like with the little clipboards are like, okay, yeah, sure, buddy, and then they go through. But there's one kid in particular, like there's like a younger, like, you know, maybe early 20 something kid that's like betting everything on this truck driving thing. He's like, I need this. He doesn't get it. And then he hangs himself. It's just like, my God.
Yeah. It's grim out there. I mean, what else is he going to do? Like, they do set up kind of convincingly, like, there's, that the ways you get out include dying. Like, you go to...
Yeah.
There's that great sequence where... So, Joe arrives, and Mario is like, they're befriending each other, and Mario's like explaining the rules. It's one of my favorite bits of this.
It goes over the course of days.
And this is one of those bits that I was thinking, like, this feels like more modern than the 50s. Like, he's explaining, like, so here in this town, like, you get out by dying, like, but then it'll like cut to like what's presumably days later, but it's like the next line of dialogue.
Or it's
in,
raining.
In a coherent, like, you know, one paragraph of dialogue. That felt very like, I don't know, like 90s or something, like, was kind of the vibe I was getting, you know, like...
Classic, like, montage conversation, exposition kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not something I was, like, used to seeing in a movie from, like, this time. And I thought it was really cool, too. Again, like, I think this movie does a really good job of, like, explaining the rules, you know? Like, this is very much like a rules movie of, like, here's why it's hard to get out. Here's why we do something desperate. And then they do a good job once we get to the second half of the movie of explaining, like, here's the stakes, like very Hitchcock, you know, of like, here's what could go wrong. Here's the bomb that like could go off. And then here are the various obstacles that they, and you have such a good sense, like Sorcerer too. You have such a good sense, you know, them going over a bridge or, you know, a bump in a road, wouldn't have the same weight as it does if they didn't do a great job setting up the stakes and what it means for them to go over these little bumps in the bridge.
Yeah, like the first, there's a, I was surprised the amount of obstacles they have to overcome. It was a lot. Like the first one is like, okay, there's this track, like this straight way, like that's like 10, 20 miles or something. That's a straight road that we have to go across. So the problem is it's in an area where the wind just like kicks shit around. So there's a ton of bumps like in the road or holes or gaps, what have you. So it's like we have to pick up a lot of speed. We have to either go over them quickly or we have to very slowly go over them. So it's like you have one of two options and there's two trucks and they're both like separated by a decent distance. And then, and the one ahead of them is just like with Luigi and I forget the other guy's name, like Baron or something.
I don't know.
I can't remember the. Anyway, so
wait, Luigi is this the
like the blonde character
Bimba.
The German and Bimba are in front, and they went fast initially. Then something happens with the truck; they have to slow down. And then you got Mario and Joe in the back, and they're going fast. And you get this tense sequence where it's like, "Oh shit, we're gonna run into them if they don't speed up. Like we're gonna blow up." And it's just, I love that it's this tense sequence of just like
that's so like specific too, because it's like they can either go slow or fast, but they can't go middle. Like, so it's like if you're going like 0 to 10 miles an hour, you're fine. Or if you're going what, like exactly 40 miles an hour, you're fine. But if you go anywhere between those two, you can't. So once they like are in this place, they can't like speed up or slow down because then they're going to be in the danger zone.
Yeah.
It's just
a straight road. That's the obstacle.
Right.
But they make it, they film it. So, and again, like, you mentioned this movie a lot. It's set in a lot of deserts. Like, it just felt like they were on an alien planet. There's like one road.
Yeah.
Like almost Twilight Zone-y. Was it just me?
No, for sure.
Like the vibes?
I think that's definitely like a, cause it's so like, you know, they could be anywhere. They could be in space, you know, it's just like the idea is that they're alone. They're, and I think they say that, like there's a line where one of them's talking and they're like, you know, yesterday we used to be, like among the living, you know, we were like, we had girls, we had booze, we could eat food, we could do whatever we want. Like now we're like, we're dead. We're just alone. Like there's nothing else but us and the road or whatever. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty, pretty cool. Pretty cool guy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool.
And then we come to the next obstacle, which is the one that it seems like the movie is kind of like, this is like the trailer moment type of thing, you know, the bridge sequence or the dreaded 3-point turn. Like this is what's on the poster. Like this is what's on the Criterion Collection DVD or Blu-ray or whatever. Like this is, to me, this is just as tense as the bridge sequence in Sorcerer in different ways.
Well, I was trying to think, like, was this the replacement for the, or is this what the bridge sequence was? You know,
it had to have been, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so, like, what, the idea is, like, they have to make a 3-point turn, and there's, It's like they're on a mountain road and there's like a landing platform that has been built off of the road for the purpose of making the 3-point turns. And it's like a rickety wooden structure that, you know, the first people to go over it immediately kind of destroy a lot of it because it's like rotten wood.
And the way they shoot it too, when the first truck goes in, they're like, all right, careful, like, you see the tire is halfway off of the bridge.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Yeah, this is again like this and it's hard to talk about these without talking about both of them, but like both of these movies did such a good job of like really, you know, these close-up shots of like the truck going, the wheel is hanging off, and you are on the edge of your seat the whole time. At least I was gripping some handles.
And we should say, great sound design for this movie too. The trucks were scary.
That was something for how old this movie is, the sound design I thought was like, it knocked my socks off. I was really surprised at the sound design of this movie.
I think the first thing that really teed me off to like, this is really good sound design, especially for a 50s movie, is when it's like that walk of the dead that they have when they're about to walk out to do their job, to go out to the trucks. They're in that hallway and you just hear the trucks warming up outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're just like walking to like, it was like death row. They were like walking on death row basically.
It's time.
Tu crois pas qu'on fait une connerie maison?
Mais qu'est-ce qui te prend?
J'ai les foies.
Non.
Ouais. J'ai les foies de pas être à la hauteur.
It's the kind of stuff like I love older movies and I don't really think about like, oh, this isn't, you know, I would never say like stuff is not good back then or anything like that. But one thing that has definitely come a long way is sound design.
It's black and white movie, but I mean, it's still the 50s. So like we've had like Hitchcock stuff. Like there's stuff that's happened.
True.
It's like, true. Like this is not like a, it's not like this is, we're talking about like a 40s or 30s movie.
But it's a French movie.
Like Color has
early...
been around for a while and stuff too. You know,
but it's a French movie from the early 50s. Like I think that this still had much better sound design than you would expect of that time.
Yeah. It's epic thriller and stuff, but
I think it's just the filmmaking too. And just, you know, you mentioned Spielberg, like I can totally see him watching this movie. And I don't know, just like there's definitely a style of filmmaking that existed in the 30s, 40s and 50s. And I think you're right, Mike, this feels way more modern than a lot of movies.
It feels like 70s. Time. Like it feels like a 70s movie, you know?
What's kind of funny is that in the 70s the sound design started kind of going away until Star Wars. Basically, it's
going like, a little crappier.
Yeah. Things got crappier. That's the thing. It's like around that point.
I mean, I'm shocked to hear the loud engines as clear as they were in this movie. Like, I feel like a lot of a movie around this time, especially in France, I would expect it to be like blown out. Like the sound, you know, would kind of be like blown out or a little bit more indistinguishable than it is here. But this is like, especially like a good sound system. I was like, wow, you don't normally get this with movies from like around this time.
That's probably has to do with a lot too with like Criterion remasters and stuff like that too.
Because
like,
I did see,
if you would have saw it in mono in the theater in the 50s, you know, kind of thing, you know, so.
I did see in there was a loving restoration of this around 2017, which is I'm sure what I watched. I'm sure that did a lot. So yeah, whether or not it was the original or the restoration, it was like, I don't take a lot of notes during movies, but I wrote a note of like the sound design in this. I'm kind of surprised at it was really good.
Well, and so to get back to the dreaded 3-point turn on the half bridge, like. Yeah, it's kind of crazy because, like, so the first group to go through is Luigi and
Bimba.
And they like at one point, I think Luigi says, like, after they've successfully made the turn, but the, you know, there's been a, it took a little bit of doing because like there was some rotten wood and Luigi had to get like a board and like use it as a support to get the truck going. He mentions to Bimbo, like, should we warn them somehow? And he's like, eh. But it's like, what could they do, really? It's like they put like a little thing there, like, hey, warning, rotten wood. But it's like, what else could they do?
Yeah. Have you guys seen The General, the Buster Keaton movie?
Mm-hmm. I think so, yeah.
This like totally reminded me of that, because like the General is kind of like half the movie they're going, it's, you know, they're on a train and like they're mm-hmm. going from somewhere and then they come back. And the one of the big gimmicks with the General is like all the weird shit that they did on the way, now they have to deal with on the way back. Like all the obstacles they set for themselves. And this definitely like reminded me a bit of that, where like they come in and like, well, they've made the hole now and like they've created these obstacles and now they're going to be like setting different things up for maybe trying to help the other guys. And now the other guys come and they have to deal with like whatever the first team did to the obstacle too.
And it's crazy too, because Mario and Joe have to go. And at this point, Joe has just been revealed as a total coward. He immediately is like, oh man, I'm feeling kind of sick. I might have malaria.
He says
boy.
Like within minutes of them yes. going out, he's like, oh, I think I'm coming down with malaria.
Well, I think Mario even says like, we've gone like 10 miles, dude. What is your deal? We just started going. What the hell? And he even runs off like as soon as things get rough, like Mario is like, all right, I need you to guide me, get out. Like, we have to go right to the edge because we need as much space as we can possibly get, because like as it's shown in the movie, unlike Luigi and Sbarro or whatever that guy's name is, I keep forgetting his name, they had a little more wiggle room. They could get like more to the left side of the bridge, like the correct side, right? Am I remembering this right? Mm.
I think so.
And so basically, Mario and Joe have to go on the other part of the bridge that's closer to like the edge.
Right.
He ends up pushing Joe off. And you think Joe is dead. And another thing about this movie, like, there were some shots where I'm like, I was shocked that they didn't use miniatures. There are a lot of shots in this movie where they straight up just fucking pushed boulders or full-size trucks. Or full-size, like, construction equipment.
That explosion when they blow up the rock. Like, when they blow up the rock that's stuck in the road. Like, there's some gnarly explosions. And just the fire, too, at the oil fields
towards
the end.
Oh, my God. The oil fire at the end was insane.
I was sweating. I was sweating.
Yeah. But I thought it was wild. Again, like, in the 50s, usually they would have, like, miniatures or stuff like this. But, no, they full-on just push stuff off of cliffs. And it shows. Like, you feel the weight of it when those boulders are, like, flying around and stuff. Like, I was impressed. But anyway, like, they managed to do the three-point turn. And Mario realizes, like, hey, asshole, I see you up there, Joe. Like, Joe literally just crawls up the mountain and hides and just looks. This guy is such a piece of shit.
Joe is, this is like what I was saying is so funny
all
about,
he had to
like,
do was guide him. He wasn't even driving the truck. He's like, I just need you to guide me. He's like, no.
I mean, yeah, but like, it's crazy that this guy went from, like, in the beginning of this movie, you think Joe is going to be like the ultimate badass, like, or he's going to be like yeah, like just this suave guy who's still in command, and then cut to, you know, 40 minutes later, and he's like, whoa.
Well, he says stuff like, hey, unlike you, I could see every bump in the road. I could see every moment. We're going to go sky high. You know?
We've died 100 times in my head. It's like, shut up, Joe. Yes. Yeah, he just like runs up the hill. Like, where is he going? What is he trying? What was his end game?
Yes, he just watches him. He just watches. And then I love it. Like, he's like, if I didn't need you, I would totally just leave your ass here. Because Mario just drives by. I love it. He's like, wait, don't leave me. And just like, I was full on expecting him to like run over Joe. It's just like, who would know?
I know. There's like a shot where he like looks up at the thing and from the truck after he's like, you know, thought he run over him, and I was waiting to see like Joe's mangled body or something. Joe.
Oh, Joe. But the next, as you mentioned, the next obstacle they run into is the rock, the giant rock. In Sorcerer, it was the giant
tree. It was a giant tree. Yeah. Which is, it's so good. It's so good. Like, both of these movies feel very, in a positive way, video game to me, where it's like, you have the rules, and now it's like, here are the various obstacles that you're going to have to figure out how to get across. Like, it's basically Death Stranding. And I love that, like, well, Sorcerer's the jungle level, so we have a tree that you have to deal with. And now here in the desert level, the desert wasteland area, here is just a giant boulder that you have to deal with. And so they when they come across it, don't they, like, they first, like, kind of dig a hole into it? Like, they excavate it, and then they, like, pour the nitroglycerin delicately down into the hole.
Yeah. Psh,
psh, hitting that thing with the stick or the...
With, like, a rod or something.
It was very... It was a little Looney Tunes, like, how they set the whole thing up.
Well, yeah, and it's like, we'll set a little thing... Tunes. They set, like, a little rig up, and then, like, they get a little bit of, like, you know, they light a fuse or something so that it'll drop a hammer onto the nitro and it'll blow up.
That's kind of how it is in The Sorcerer also.
Basically the same setup, yeah.
They have a little, like, rig going on to have it kind of, like, drop from far away.
And I just really love that they really do a good job of explaining how powerful this nitroglycerin is. Like, in the first scene when the oil company guy is explaining it to them, he literally takes, like, a tiny drop and drops it on the ground in the office, and it's like, pa-boom, you know? So you have, like... I don't know, like, what do they say they have? I mean, they have, like, what looks like 30 oil drums of this nitroglycerin on each truck.
And are they just, like, in these, like, plastic containers? Like, something you
and
would
put
gas
little,
in?
Like, straps in. Like, that's one thing I will say, like, as, like, in Wages of Fear, it didn't seem as if they went as... It seemed like there was a lot more bump that they could withstand as opposed to Sorcerer. In Sorcerer, they literally had to, like, put it, like, in sand or something, if I recall, right?
Mm-hmm. It was like dynamite.
Yeah. It was dynamite in that one. In this one, it's like liquid nitroglycerin. But they do a really good job. And I love how it's like, keep backing up, back up, back the trucks up. Like, they literally back the trucks up, I think, like half a mile away, right? Or it seems that way. Like, they're pretty far.
I don't think
back.
It's that far, but they do back it up. It's windy. So they back it up like a couple, like, winds or whatever. But yeah, there's a great, great moment where they're, like, about to do it. And then one of them is just like, wait a minute. This is, like, really rocky. Do you think the rocks are going to land on the truck? And they've already, like, lit the fuse. And one of them's like, and yeah, one of them is like, shit, it might do that.
Well, Luigi's like, I got to go change it. They're like, it's too late.
Luigi, you idiot.
But I kind of like that. It's just like they're not thinking it through. As you said, it's super hot out. They've already been through like a couple crazy death-defying obstacles. So it's like they're not exactly thinking straight. You know what I mean? They're just thinking like, we got to get this shit over there as quickly as we can. And it's also like, it's not like they have a ton of food or anything. Like, we see them chewing on, like, I don't know if it's jerky or what exactly. Like, that was one thing that they didn't really, like, did they bring any food with them? I would assume they would have brought something. It's 300
Did they bring
miles.
RX bars?
They probably had RX bars.
It seemed like all they had were cigars.
They had so much to smoke.
Yeah,
there is so
need.
Much smoking in this movie.
If you just can chew on a cigar, you're good to go.
Did you notice like when Mario finally gets the truck there to where it's supposed to go, he like gets out. When he gets out and the people are greeting him, literally the first thing is someone hands him a cigarette.
Yes.
Gonna bring him back to life, you know.
This movie could have told me it was entirely sponsored by Marlboro cigarettes, or it's French, Galois cigarettes.
Well, he is covered in oil, too, when they hand him that cigarette, and it doesn't matter, like, whatever, just give me that cigarette.
Catch on fire or something.
Oh, my God. When they get to the oil pit, like, that whole oil sequence is some of the craziest looking stuff, when they're just, like, oil creatures just covered in goo.
Oh, my God.
What do you think they did when they filmed that? Like, how...
Well, we should mention they do. So they successfully blow up the rock. There's a slight tense moment when we think maybe Luigi died on his way running over to you know, whatever. But he survives.
And you get Joe, who's waiting in the truck, like basically peeing his pants, scared that the rocks are gonna.
And some of the rocks do come and hit the
truck. But it's really little. It's just like a cuddle, like, yeah. Boop, boop, boop. You know, it's they're good. They're fine. They're fine.
But again, it's so tense. And again, you mentioned modern, like how modern this movie felt. The editing in that scene when they're waiting for the explosion to go off is so good. It keeps cutting to like close-ups of like, you know, we got Mario like chipping away at his little like box of matches. We get this other guy like biting his teeth, or, you know, it keeps cutting to all these close-ups. It's like, it was so well done. It really felt like a modern movie.
Love that. Love when that comes about. The old movie that feels modern.
Yeah. This is definitely a gem. Like, definitely. Needless to say, we haven't gotten to this part yet, but I think recommends. Like, I definitely recommend this movie. Like, definitely check it out.
Well, I have. Maybe it's a nit, but I think there's. I guess if we're talking about editing and or something that doesn't quite work, something about the end, I think, makes falls flat
okay.
for me.
Okay, let's talk about the oil first before we get to the end, because the oil is like the last big obstacle they have to kind of get through.
Because it almost becomes parody, in my opinion. That's when it becomes Looney Tunes.
We'll get to that. I had thoughts on that, too.
And I'm almost like, oh, okay.
Let's talk about the oil thing. So as you mentioned, again, in great editing, like there's a part where there was a moment where I almost had my own nit, where they've survived the rock, they got past the rock obstacle. They're going, they're driving, things are good. Like, man, we're just surviving like obstacle after obstacle. This is amazing. And you got Barrow,
there's like, not a sense of like we're home free, but there is a sense of like it's smooth sailing from here on out.
Yes. And he's like shaving in the truck, and Luigi's just like, why are you shaving? He's like, dude, because when I go, I want to look presentable. And it's basically just like, you know, we've seen this in movies a million times. He might as well be saying, I got one day left till retirement.
Yeah.
You're like, you're waiting for like something to happen.
It's a good bit of like his character too. Like Bimba's, yeah. he's saying like, because he's German, and he's like, I think that's where he drops, like, when the Nazis killed my parents, like the thing that they did before they killed him is they asked to take a shower because they like wanted to look good or whatever. And so I guess he's probably like killed in the Holocaust, I'm guessing, or political dissidents or something, you know. So yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing. And then yeah, it is 100% like once that happens, you're like, well, he's gonna die.
There's going to be a bump in the road or something, but you're waiting for it. But then it cuts back to Mario and Joe in the truck behind them, however many you know yards back, and you're like, okay, maybe they're gonna save that. And it's just them talking. It's Joe rolling a cigarette, and then suddenly you just see a flash, and then
he's rolling the cigarette, and the tobacco leaves like blow, like there's a gust. Yes. And it's so, yes. I love that this happened. I don't know if your nit is with this. I love that this happened, and I love that this is how it happened.
No, my nit was a nit that vanished away, because I thought it was going to be like, it would have been a nit if Luigi and the German guy had hit a bump in the road right then, as he's like, I want to be presentable. But they don't do that.
You were getting ready to pick the nit, but then the nit.
I was getting ready to pick the nit, but then they cut back to Mario and Joe behind them. I'm like, okay, cool. That's just, you know, whatever. I'm sure that's eventually going to come, but then the movie surprises me because it does it at a time I'm not anticipating, when Mario and Joe are just having kind of a conversation and he's rolling the cigarette.
Ryan, maybe you remember this, like, how did this happen in Sorcerer? Like, I think I remember, like, one of the trucks did blow up. Was it, like, nonchalant like this?
It was with the French guy. He's talking, he's got, like, his watch, I think, his wife's watch.
Yeah, it was, like, very much, like, just, Yeah, I remember they were on Home and Free, I feel like, type of thing.
Yeah.
They just blow up.
I think that's like such a good choice. And I think it like takes you back to like, I was kind of thinking,
like, what happens is like, I think like a tire hits something.
It's like a bump in the road.
It's like a bump in the road. Like, boop,
I do like that you never see exactly what happened here, and they don't find out. Yeah, they don't really know. And it brings me back to the beginning of the movie, like, because when they first start, not the beginning, but the beginning of the journey, is when they first set out, they are like, they're going really slow and they're really careful. And you do kind of see, like, while they are relaxed, there is a bit of, I was thinking, like, you guys are going kind of fast. And like, all of a sudden, it seems like there were a lot of, like, you were being very careful even when there weren't obstacles before, in a way that now you seem to be just like, maybe you're just exhausted from it all and you're just like, fuck it, almost there.
It could also just be arrogance. Like, we've survived these three death-defying things. Like, maybe they're just float, you know, what's that expression?
The wages of fear are death?
Floating on air? I don't know. That expression. Walking on air. That's the expression I was trying to come up with.
Walking on air.
After, you know, these death-defying things that they've come across.
You know what reminds me? I don't know if this is true or not, but it's a thing I heard that has stuck in my brain forever, is that most automobile accidents happen within the mile of the home. And the idea is that you're like, you're not really thinking about it. You're feeling a false sense of safety. Like nothing bad's going to happen. I'm just like going through the motions. That's kind of what it made me think of. And yeah, I love the very French to show the explosion by the breeze and the wind first and like then cut to it. That was cool.
Again, it surprised me because it kind of lulls you. Okay, I guess we're just into this other conversation now. It lulls you into this false sense of
security. And that's the kind of stuff that makes me think of Spielberg. Like, because I think of like the Jurassic Park with the water and the glass, you know, as being the like, oh my God, there's a Jurassic. Like, I just imagine a lot of this movie, I'm picturing like a young Spielberg when he's watching like the, what was the movie he was watching in Fableman's and making the Great Escape? Was that it?
It was
The Greatest Show on Earth.
Greatest Show on Earth. Yeah, the Hugh Jackman movie, right? The Greatest Showman.
Robbery, whatever.
Yeah, the train robbery one.
Well,
yeah,
it was like the animals escaping from the train getting like hit. Yes. I guess they were getting robbed. Yeah. I don't know. I've never seen the movie. So apparently it's not a great movie.
I could see him just like watching this movie the same way.
But so they're dead, and now the next obstacle is essentially the aftermath of the explosion. They finally come up. The truck is gone. There is no sign of the truck. It's completely just disintegrated. Who knows what? Vaporized. But there's like a broken oil main off to the left of the side of the road that's just spilling all this oil into the, like, and it's creating this oil mud mixture, this giant pond. And it's just like these scenes are always so gross. I mean, it's black and white, so I'm sure it was just kind of like mud that they were walking into. But nevertheless, it looks thicker.
That stuff is black. It's not just normal. Whatever it is, like whatever hopefully did, it wasn't oil, but it's not mud. Like it's gross.
I mean, he becomes like Baron Harkonnen, like going into the oil bath. Like Joe just walks in. He's got this stick. He's testing the depth, and just like when he falls in, it's just like. This shit always grosses me out in movies.
I love, again, like, this movie is so good. This movie is like, it does so many elegant like things where like you don't even think about it, but like the way that it parks, once they get stuck and the truck is parked there, you immediately have a baseline for like how high the water is because you're looking at the truck wheels. And it keeps, every time it cuts back to it, it cuts back to the same shot of the truck wheels. And it's like other stuff is going on. It's not cutting there just to show you the water's rising, but you can't help but notice, like, oh wow, that wheel's now like under the oil, you know?
Yeah. And he goes, Joe fully submerges in the oil.
They're both oil monsters
like,
by this.
Mario's driving the truck, and like, you know, Luigi's kind of, or not Luigi. Sorry, it's hard not to do. Joe is
Luigi's
just sort of
dead.
Like
Luigi's dead
at this point. Joe is just in front, like trying with the stick, trying to gauge the depth, but also like there's like, you know, obviously hidden branches and crap in the, as he's like discovering them, and like Mario's in this position where he's like, I can't stop. I have to keep going. I can't stop, Joe. You know what I mean? Like if like you need to hurry, you need to get that crap out of the way.
It's again where they like set up the stakes in a good, like the, when they're on the racetrack before, you know, so like they, you know,
stop.
Going into it, going. Once I start going through this lake, we cannot stop. We have to get to the other side because there won't be traction. And yeah, so Mario's like getting out and he's like trying, or excuse me, Joe is getting out and he's trying to like clear some branches that are buried, but then he gets stuck and he's like, I can't, I'm trying to get out. I can't. And Mario's driving I can't jump it. Get out of the way. And it's great. Like there's a very like one. This is one of my, I feel like I'm turning to Chris Farley, but this is one of my favorite moments in the movie. It's the way that I was thinking about this after, like they play it off. Like, I'm trying to get the names right. Mario, who's driving, cannot hear Joe screaming, Joe, you know, Joe's in there screaming like, I'm stuck. You're going to run over me. And Mario's like, get out of the way. What are you doing? And I realized like, oh, he definitely heard him. He doesn't want to acknowledge this is what he has to do. Like, I think he knew what was going on. He knew that Joe was down there and stuck, but he didn't want to. So he's afterwards like, why didn't you get out of the way? You know, but I think he knows deep down, like,
he knew
what happened. And it's just what he had to do, but he didn't want to admit it to himself.
Because, yeah, he couldn't stop. He couldn't lose momentum.
The wages of fear.
The wages of fear. And it's snarly, dude. When he runs over Joe's leg, it is like, gah!
This is when you were saying this movie goes hard, when he finally is pulled out of the goo and the mangled leg, I was like, it's and he even like, you think it's like going to be a tasteful mangled leg under the leg, but then he cuts it out to like, cause he's trying to see what I got there. And it's just like a goo leg. It's like, it's gross.
And again, you just don't anticipate that because this is the 50s, and I can only think like, okay, I guess the French just had, you know, less
more
restrictive.
I mean, I think it's the thing with like older movies is like not that like older movies always went hard. It's just that like older Hollywood did not.
Yes,
like if you're watching an old Hollywood movie, they were very like, it's the Hays Code, right? Still in effect. So they had a lot of censorship rules, but they didn't have those censorship rules in other places.
We get fucks in this movie. We get the mention of balls.
Wait, there's fucks? Like, they drop fucks?
They drop the fuck in this movie.
I miss that.
And they also drop shit.
In English, is it French fuck?
It's in French. It's
okay.
In French.
Because there is, we didn't mention like up at the top, like there, this is one of those movies where you get a lot of different languages. It's mostly French, but there is like, the Americans English are speaking English. One of my notes actually was, I thought it was funny. Like you could tell this is French because the Americans they suck and they're so like American. Yes. There is a shot where
I am American man.
Yeah, there's a shot with like the American like oil guy, like the big, you know, the boss man of the oil company who's kind of running the show in this island. There's a shot, one of the first shots you see him, this is one of the notes I took. He's like on the phone and he's like, you know, hello, yes, American oil man here. And he's eating lunch and he's drinking. He has a Coca-Cola and a glass of milk that he's drinking for lunch.
Oh, well, it's the early 50s.
What? That is so American coded.
That sounds like my favorite two drinks as a kid. It was Coke and a glass of milk. They nailed it.
Hello. O'Brien speak. The safety commission's coming out to see you this afternoon. Yeah. Give them a good meal and plenty of liquor. Put all the blame on the victim. Huh. They're done for. They can't feel it, huh? I'll attend to the reporters. Yeah. I'll attend to the witnesses, too. Ah, don't worry. I'll handle it, right?
Oh, boss.
Yeah?
There's a call from Toronto. It's from Mr. Reiner.
Who is it?
His mother.
Oh, the hell with her. Cut her short. If he dies, we'll call her back.
Good.
It was Reiner's mother. Yeah. He hasn't a chance?
Thank you, no answer.
Well, in his condition, that's a break for him. Yeah. For us, too.
Yeah, we should point out the Americans in this movie are not painted in a good light. I mean, they say it's like, well, hey, man, if there's oil, the Americans aren't going to be that far away.
There was some the censorship I talked about. That was the other thing. They didn't like that it was homosexual. They thought it was too lefty. They thought it was too like anti-capitalist because the oil was bad. And then they also thought it was too American. I even saw like one contemporary review that was like trashing this movie. It was an American review. And it was trashing the movie as like, all this movie has to say is that America is bad. There's nothing else. Like, it's just an America. It literally read like you're reading like a 2020s review of some movie, calling it like woke trash. Like it kind of made me feel like good in a way. Actually,
this movie isn't wrong in its depiction. I mean, yeah, that shit happens and it ruins. I mean, we see it too. We see the effect that they do a really good job of showing the effect of what this oil company does. Like, you see the native people there just like, especially that shot at the end when it's just like those native people watching the fire and they're just getting like shooed away and just like, God, you guys have just ruined the land and you guys are a stain.
It's literally the land is on fire. Like,
yes.
it's another thing. This movie was ahead of its time. Like, this was before the 70s CIA in South America and all that, you know?
Yeah. Anywho, so they finally managed to get out of the oil. He drags Joe out. He's got his leg propped up. And this is the last leg of the journey, no pun intended.
Wow, Dave.
You know, he's just sort of like, oh.
How could you?
It's that scene in movies where a guy's dying. He's like, stay awake, man. Stay awake. Talk to me, damn it. You know? He eventually dies, and he drives up, and this is very similar to how it's done in Sorcerer. Like, he pulls, well, I guess in Sorcerer, Friedkin, like, ratchets up the tension a little bit. Like, they run out of, in Sorcerer, he runs out of gas, like, I don't know, a half mile away from the oil rig. And he has to walk it, which is cool in Sorcerer. In this, he drives up, he gets out, and you just get this really cool shot of the guy just like a zombie just listing, and then he just completely falls down on the ground. They think he's dead, and he's actually just asleep.
He's sleeping like a baby.
Great shot this like the flames sequence. In the background, and you know, it feels like he's in hell.
Well, yeah, the way he walks towards it, and all the people are just like, what's this guy's deal? What's wrong with him? You know, he gets out of the truck, they're all dead. And
we skipped over, and just, you did skip over, I think, the shot of Joe, like, because he's not dead. Like, they're driving together, and then Joe is, like, basically in Mario's arms as they're driving, and Mario's, like, trying to keep him awake to, you know, stay alive, and doing a great, like, the bit where they're, like, because they bonded over Paris, which is a great callback to the beginning of the movie and kind of tying the characters and arc
is
together.
Is the fence still there?
Just like, remember Paris? Like, I loved what he was saying, too, because he's like, oh, we lived on the same street or whatever. And Joe is like, is that fence still there? I always wonder what was behind that fence. And Mario's like, there was nothing behind that fence. It was an empty lot. That's so good. So good.
And in this moment, I'm suddenly like, I'm not behind Joe, but I'm like, you empathize. You know what I mean? They're having a moment.
You can't help but. It's very tender, very homosexual themes, you know. Like it's not in the text, but it's just, it's very tender. Like it's not the kind of thing you would expect to see in a Hollywood movie.
It was like
at the time.
Male bonding, and people weren't ready for that in America in the 50s.
Yeah. I mean, as he's dying, Mario's like holding him and like stroking his hair, you know, like trying to make him comfortable and keep him awake, and he's gone, like, as they, of course, as they make the turn to, like, you know, we're here, we made it, and he's dead.
Yeah. And now we come back to Ryan's knit, which is also my knit, because this, we mentioned that this feels very modern, this movie. We get a lot of, like, raw emotion in this scene, especially, and great visuals when you see the actual fire, this raging fire, and he just collapses. And then the movie kind of pivots a little bit. You know, well, no, it's the 2001 music, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like an old waltz. Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, we're going to give you $4,000. This is how the other guys would have wanted. Like, yep, yes, sirree. And he's driving along, and I get that he's supposed to be, it's just filmed in a way where he's like, whoa! Like, he's driving along, he's like doing these hugely exaggerated things.
It's manic. It's manic. With the music, too, is because that piece, like, it does start, like, pretty and stuff, but it does, like, get to be kind of, like,
and
intense.
And it cuts to, like, back in the shitty town, like the bartender gets word, oh hey, they all died, but Joe's coming back, and then Linda's like,
Mario's coming back,
dancing.
Joe's
yay!
Dead
or Mario, I'm sorry, and they're all dancing, and it keeps cutting back and forth. I get the sense that here's the thing, because I've seen this before, and I ran into this too, like, this seems like a very hard pivot from the raw emotion we had a moment ago to the ba-da-da-da-da, and he's like driving around in a truck.
So here, like, I don't think, like,
and he dies.
I don't think
say he drives off the road and he dies.
It was like a Tiny Toon Adventures like joke, like,
yes.
So I don't think you're like, I'm not disagreeing with your nitpick or anything. I'll say, watching it, I didn't skip a beat. I was kind of thinking, like, because the whole thing they keep saying over and over, they say it many times in this movie, is like, we're all dead. Like, we're all, so I was expecting him to die.
I was thinking this is like he died when he fell down in front of the fire. And this is like him dreaming.
Basically. Well, I think it's real, but I think it's like, he has a manic energy, and I do think there's a bit of like a death wish that he has of on his way back.
I really think it's, I don't even think that the thing that's happening is an issue. I really think it's the cut to the wide of the truck And it looks goofy as hell, like what he's doing, because it doesn't look like why is he doing that? And so that's the problem. It's not like that he's like recklessly like riding in the
There's like, literally points when it looks as if he's like driving sideways up on the part of a cliff that he's on, like he's like, you know what I mean, like the truck's going like it's gonna tip over and he's like, ah!
Yeah, it doesn't have like I think he should die this same. It should be the same way, this movie. Of just like him, he's just driving, blah, blah, blah. But like, he's just like confident now. Instead, it's like he's like trying to like kill himself. Basically.
Trying to kill himself, yeah.
But I don't have a problem with that. I think he is.
I don't know, because he goes off that cliff and he's like, ugh.
Well, I get what the movie's doing. Yeah. He's like, he's like, I've defied death so many times, I'm unkillable. Like, you can't get me. You know what I mean? Like, I get the idea of it.
Yeah, it is like.
I feel like it would play better if like. If it wasn't, it just seemed comical.
It doesn't seem tragic to me. It doesn't like come off.
It seems
like
zany and goofy, and it's just such a hard pivot from where we were like moments earlier.
I felt the same way, where I was like, what a fart. Like, I was just like, it just took away everything. It was just, it lost all of it.
I really didn't, didn't have that effect on me at all. Like,
it's been a long time.
I honestly think it would have been better if, you know, he's driving. They could show him driving in confidence. I think it would have been better if it was literally just like there is a rock in the road that he doesn't clock. And it just, it kunk,
like,
you know, and
like
then
in,
he flies off.
That's how the guy, other guys die in Sorcerer, basically. They just hit like something, boom.
Yeah, it could just be the stupidest thing, and it could have been cool. Like he's it could have been the dumbest little thing. And like he looks, or maybe he's distracted for a second, thinking, and like, oh shit, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it could have been done in a less zany way, and still gotten.
You kind of already got the nothing killed us scene though with Luigi. And Bimba, they kind of already pulled that trick.
Yeah, I think this
just feels too much. They put the pedal down in the.
I disagree. I think that by like this point of the movie, it's earned just like insanity. Like, and it's totally insane. I mean,
the camera is literally like.
I think it's just
like,
the way it's shot.
It's shaking around. Like
you get like Dutch angles. Like, bleh!
Yeah. I it worked for me. Well, I don't know what I can say. It felt like appropriate for this point to be just like manic insanity, and he's just like ready to end it all.
This is when I was kind of thinking, like, is this even happening? Because, like, as he said, it cuts back to back in the city, and like the people are all dancing, and right before Mario crashes, Linda like collapses.
Yeah, she's like
there's a moment where she's dancing and she like collapses.
She like feels a disturbance in the force or something.
Yeah, she falls and then he falls like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was thinking of like, is there another read of this when like this is just like he didn't, because again, the movie takes such a different tonal. It takes such a tonal shift.
I think there is a fair point of like, would the town, it feels overly idyllic that the town would care and to this degree and be like dancing about these guys. Like,
I don't think that's happening.
Cause the town is miserable and is still going to be miserable and no one else is getting out of here.
It's not like he's going to give his $4,000 to the town.
If anything, this town should be like sharpening weapons to rob this guy as soon as he gets back.
Like,
I don't think
any of the stuff in the town is happening. I think that's in his head as he's driving back. Like, they're going to be so thrilled.
Oh, I like that. I don't like that he died in the oil fields and this is a dream, but I like the idea that like he's on his way like woohoo, and then everything on the town is just what he's thinking is going on.
He thinks they're gonna,
and I think that makes more that makes more sense with like her Linda like falling and then
he dies.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I like that. I don't think you guys are crazy for feeling this way, but I want to emphasize I disagree. It didn't. Well, it felt like it felt earned and like it made. No, it didn't feel jarring to me, but
I really think like the moment is right. Like I think it's right. Like on paper,
just doesn't.
Yeah, I agree.
How it's executed.
I just think it's executed in a way where I was just like, why are they showing this wide shot of him on this wide road, like swerving? Like it was like a. Like strange, just strangely done. I felt like, because then with like after that happens, and then the fin pops up over his dead body. I was like, was that supposed to be funny? Like maybe that could be like me, the irony pilled of like the fin in a cartoon, you know, thing. Like,
I think that's part of it.
Yeah. It's Simpsons tough to escape that. It's tough to escape what ending a movie on a death and then saying fin.
Yeah, I think
that's
how an American reads that.
I know it's tough. Yeah. It's like tough to break apart from that. But like I was just so
imagine being in 1953 in like a French or Italian movie theater and then seeing that. You know,
it's really wouldn't hit the same way. The Simpsons have ruined it. You know, that's just like one of those things. Like
you can't end a movie with Finn anymore.
Nope. Unless they you're going for like a funny moment, because it does. It's like a beat. It's like a perfect comedy beat. Like duh, dead body, and then Finn.
And it flies like, at the screen. It comes at you. Yeah. You know, the credit comes at you.
Whoa. And,
yeah, and I bet
they should do a 3D version of this.
This would have been great to see in theaters. I think it would have I probably would have been more in.
Imagine seeing it in a smoky theater, like a theater filled with cigarette smoke in the 50s.
That'd been great. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of these, like, that's why I put off a lot of these, sometimes these big, like, cultural movies, these big movies for, like, the theaters if I can, these, like, lately, because, like, I get taken by them so much more than I did at
Well, you just recently saw 12 Monkeys in a theater, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I'd never seen it before. So, yeah. And it was just like, that was like I felt like I was on drugs watching that movie halfway because it was hot as hell in the theater, and I was a lot of beers in at this point, but it still was like I'm spoiled by being able to go to Bartertown to see the movies they play sometimes to see some.
We should say Bartertown has a great repertory cinema scene.
Yeah,
man.
So
it's really blown up over the last few years.
A lot of these older movies, it's
I'm gonna say it. I had a hard time. Bartertown is a little bit better than the town in this movie. It's like pretty similar, but I think we have a few, there was no movie theater in this town.
Well, I'll just, since we're kind of, I mean, we've already finned it, but like the reason why I would prefer, I mean, and this is a great, cool movie, but the reason why I prefer Sorcerer over it, and I know I saw that first, and so it's hard to like discount it, but like, that movie feels like here in hell, I think. From basically, you were out, like, the town doesn't feel like hell yet. Like, you're stuck there type of thing. But there's, like, there's kids there. There's women there. There's, like, things going on.
Are you talking about this town or Sorcerer?
No, in this movie, in Wages of Fear. Like, this town, there's kids, there's people playing. It sucks. But it doesn't seem like hell. It just seems like...
It doesn't seem entirely hopeless as it does in
Sorcerer. I think what it is like the town is more like purgatory, and then they are now in hell when they go on the... Well, they're going from purgatory to hell.
Yeah, but I think it's like almost like they're trying to escape it in Sorcerer, I think, but is actually driving deeper and deeper into it kind of thing. And you already like had the real life in the first half an hour of Sorcerer, where you're seeing all the people's things before and everything. And then you kind of get to this town and you're like, oh, this is where all these bad people have come together kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that and the vibe. This movie doesn't have a score, which I thought was interesting. Like there's...
Oh, yeah, it didn't.
Like,
did it? Not really.
Which,
like, I didn't even notice that.
Like, I mean, it had a lot of music in it, but like, I was kind of thinking like, oh, this is all just like silent movie where like the Sorcerer, I love the vibe of that score and that.
The vibe of the Sorcerer score by like, Tangerine Dream.
I love the look of it. Roy Scheider, I think, the close-ups, there's like so much, like the sweat of that movie, like that movie stinks, but like you can smell it.
I would say this movie stinks and you can smell it, and it's clearly drawing a lot of like almost like shot for shot ideas of those close-ups.
I agree, the
tire on the bridge, Ryan. I mean, that's
but I don't know, like I don't know, it didn't quite hit with me. And maybe I've seen Sorcerer like twice in theaters, basically. Maybe that's something to do with it, but like
maybe you got to see it in theaters.
Like I think I just was this kind of like, oh, this feels like there's good stuff, and I love all the things you guys are saying about it, but I'm like, oh, this kind of feels like, you know, a Western type of vibe that I've seen before, you know?
And also by comparison, like, as we mentioned, like, a lot of the people in this movie are dirtbag. Well, actually, no, honestly, I think Joe is really the only, like, full-on dirtbag. The other three guys in the trucks are relatively, like, you know, you would almost get the sense, like, they just fell on hard times, and, you know, they're in this shitty town. Whereas in Sorcerer, they are bad guys.
Sorcerers is like the way it starts is almost like a like convention of bad guys or something, or like, you know, the villains. Yeah. You get the idea that it's like this is where the villains from other action movies end up or something, where Wages of Fear is a lot more not every man, but it's closer to that.
Yeah,
it's closer to that idea.
And I get what you mean, Ryan. Like the town.
Well, no, it's hard sucks. To compare it, but I'm just saying, like, that's what I like. I'm just saying, but I'm trying to say
I think the characters, though, because they're not, like, these villainous, almost cartoon characters or archetypes, Sorcerer, like, I like that I got a lot more out of this movie than just the cool action white knuckle stuff, which I think both of these movies do equally as well.
Yeah.
But I think that the secret sauce of this is I do care about the characters and I'm interested in these characters, and it makes you think about the human condition more, I think, than Sorcerer. Which Sorcerer is more about like a straight up roller coaster ride.
I think you nailed it, Ryan. This movie does have Western vibes. They're not like the most idyllic, like they're not John Wayne, these characters in Wages of Fear, but like compared to Sorcerer, they're like knights in shining armor. And I get what you're coming. I get where you're coming from.
I think
because
I just like it's something about it, like just got under my skin, like this one did. You know?
Sorcerer definitely leans more into like the psychedelic.
I think it puts yourself into it more than like
Ryan.
I think
would
that's
you
the
say
ride.
That
right,
you,
it's a ride? I think.
Would you prefer a jungle level to a desert level in like a Mario or a Donkey Kong?
I do like a desert level. I don't like water levels, but I do like. You know what's funny? In Donkey Kong Bonanza, we got it somehow. Cody found it in the wasteland on the Switch 2. There's a moment where you choose.
Real nice of him to sell it to us for $500 or whatever, too.
Yeah, there's like a moment where you can choose, like, do you want to go to this jungle area first or do you want to go to the snow level first type of thing? And the jungle level wasn't as good as the snow one. I don't know if that there's no snow in this movie, so that doesn't really make a difference. That's not a
I'll
really
say,
good
whichever,
comparison.
Whichever one you watch, Wages of Fear and Sorcerer, it's the same story, but each one is giving, I think, very distinct vibes.
Yeah,
has anyone seen the Netflix remake of Wages of Fear?
Well, I was gonna say cause I didn't know that existed until about 2 minutes ago, basically, when I found the trailer.
It came out in 2024.
It looks like it may be like a Spanish movie or something like that. Like I don't know what language, where's this from? But
one of the quotes I saw from
it looks really bad.
One of the quotes I saw is it is an exercise in anti-tension.
it may be like this may be like a South American movie or something like that. I'm looking, but like. It looks like the parody of like you're remaking this movie. I feel like, you know what I'm talking about. Like I didn't put sound on with this trailer, but like it just looks like the there's a moment where they're walk on the street or on the road and there's like motorcycles behind them and stuff like that. See, and I was just like laughing about that.
This almost feels more like the vibe of like the Dawn of the Dead remake when they're making their truck. Like, all right, we got to make the truck now. And, like, I can imagine in this movie, there's a lot of dun 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 dun. You know, like I actually, in retrospect, it's kind of cool that this movie didn't have a score. I did not notice the lack of score.
You know, the score is.
But I can imagine like this remake, like adding in a lot of like. Action music.
It's in French and Arabic, so it's I think it was made by your people, Mike. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we're at the end here. I would recommend either version, Wages of Fear or Sorcerer. Each one is dealing with the same story but different vibes. If you're in kind of more of a more straightforward thriller western-y vibe, go with Wages of Fear. If you can maybe connect with the characters a bit more, and if you want to go with a more psychedelic, like trippy version of this, go watch Sorcerer. Both
are good. I'd say that's accurate. I endorse that statement 100%. I think that they're both great movies, you know, but Wages of Fear is definitely my preferred one of these now, and both a delight. I loved this movie. It was so nice to watch again. A good movie for this show. I will say that anytime I get the chance to do it, it was such a delight. Better movie than Madam Web.
You're saying Twilight was not a good movie?
I'm not saying Twilight was bad. I'm just saying it's always nice to watch a good movie for this show because it's not guaranteed.
We had a rough summer. Twilight. I get it.
I like the Twilight movie. It's good.
You don't have to say you liked it, Ryan.
After loving
you
that
hated
first
it.
Movie so much that not first movie, but the original, the freaking one. I just like. I don't. I'll just say it. I think it wipes this one out. Like, it's just, it's so much better, I think.
Wow.
I'll go with that one over
Insane it.
Even
take.
Though I, yeah, it's great. I think this one, it's just, it's, they're both have their elements, but the other one I think is just.
You feel like so this is like more. The Switch 2, like the Sorcerer's the Switch 2 to the Switch 1 of Wages of Fear. Like, you don't even need to pick it up again after Switch 2 comes out.
Sure. Yeah. I guess.
It's like. I gotta wonder, yeah, like, would you have, if you had seen this movie first, would you have been a lot more positive on it?
I mean, I saw Sorcerer first.
I'm sure I would have, yeah. I'm sure I would have, but I just...
I saw Sorcerer first and
loved
it.
The other one just got in my zone, just was like one of those movies, like, I felt like I discovered a new color when I saw it. It was so amazing, and this one, I'm just like, oh, it's the movie, but just a slower kind of, like, a, you know... Old man version, boomer version of my precious sorcerer.
Disagree
on that. Yeah, all the things you were saying, like, it's amazing how modern this movie feels. Like, no, take it back.
I just say, someone's got to be the antagonist of the.
You're the Joe of our podcast today.
just for this one. No, it's great. It's really good. I'm being facetious. Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this. Are you gonna watch Sorcerer after this, Ryan?
No, that's one that, like, you know, I need to show to somebody, you know, like for the first time or something, or when it comes to theaters again or something like that. But this is one I think I'll be excited to see again sometime as well. I think just because, like, I think I'd get more into it knowing, like, the pace it's going to be at and everything like that. I think I would this time around, like, I had an okay time watching it. But
if it's playing at the theater in Bartertown, Ryan, let's go.
Yeah, I would love to see it. And especially if it's on a film or something, or like,
you know,
a new remaster.
I will say, I can verify that. The first time I saw this, I remember, because I also went into this having seen Sorcerer first, the first time I watched this. And I remember thinking, the first 40 minutes seemed to take a little longer on my first watch of them in the town. Not slow or drudgery, but it did. My perception of it when I first saw it was that took longer than it actually did. Watching it on this rewatch, this movie flew by.
No, I think it would. I think just with the type of characters, this is how it is with, especially when there's, like, multiple languages going on.
Yeah.
And, like, a lot of different types of characters and motivations and things happening. Like, this type of movie that, like, would really play well in a rewatch, for me at least. And I think
it would.
Meat on the bone is what I call that.
And so, like, I was just, like, a little bit, maybe I was not in the zone at the time for taking this in, you know? That's probably it. I guarantee.
Well, I can't wait for your second review after you see it in theaters.
No, watching it at home, I think, like, I would have a better experience, I think, you know? And also, I don't live in the luxury, I'm sitting in, seeing a hot city or hot town in this movie, and it's 85 degrees in my apartment and I'm sweating like crazy. It's just bad
vibes. it's not like kind of doing something for you being in it and seeing it.
You can't stay, you can't sit still, you know.
Do you want to put on like Frozen?
Yeah, I need
Cool Running, some kind of like snow related movie.
Yeah, that would be great, actually. That would
well
be,
there's always Jack Frost.
Yeah,
you could rewatch Jack Frost.
Somehow, like, I know we spent a lot of time on Jack Frost, but for some reason, like, I hadn't thought about it since then, you know, and now it's haunted my head again. Thank you for putting that back in my brain. I thought
well,
I wiped
it's actually,
it
actually, you know what? You're in luck, Ryan, because the next episode in our docket, the next episode we'll be doing, our next movie we'll be watching on Apocalypse Video will be Snowbound. Because when we return, we'll be back in the exciting world of James Bond. With For Your Eyes Only. Now, if you'll excuse us, we gotta deliver a shipment of nitroglycerin to Bartertown.
Oh, shit!
Which is like, oh, God!